This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
If you have missed any of our show today, a very happy Knicks show for the Knicks fans. You can rewind on the Odyssey app. They're up 1-0 on the Boston Celtics as they look to shock the world and go to the Eastern Conference Finals. Coming up this hour, we had mentioned this yesterday, talked a little bit about it yesterday while Tiki was out, and that is the idea that if the Knicks upset the Celtics, it would actually be a bigger upset than the Giants upsetting the Patriots in the Super Bowl. That discussion we had yesterday trickled up to Boston, and that became a topic up there. So we'll give you their perspective coming up a little bit later on this hour. And also, the New York Knicks are three wins away from advancing to the Eastern Conference Finals. And their biggest fan may not really care that much, and Spike Lee. We'll get to that in the next 5 minutes, but let's get to some of your phone calls, including John and Maspeth, one of the great Met fans out there. How are you, John?
One of the great Met fans, yeah, okay. Listen, Devin Williams, you know how you fix him? You trade his ass. Get this bum the hell out of here. Listen, he cannot handle New York. We've seen this over and over. Listen, yeah, he's a good player, but you know what? He's not going to be a good player here. He's going to be a good player somewhere else.
John?
He was a good player in Milwaukee.
Look,
my point. We got five losses after eight innings. Four of them are in his name. He is not fit for New York. Our rotation is thin. We cannot be experimenting with this bum out here with the game on the damn line costing us wins. We only have a 1.5 game lead in division. Three teams in under. I'm fed up with this.
I got
you. Cut our damn losses. Trade him. Get some scrub starter who can eat innings. Some other team can use him, but not us. I'm sick and tired of this damn closer spot. Every game here, being a circus. Ty Holmes, Jeremy, and now this. I'm sick and tired of it.
Wow.
That felt like that was very Sean Morashian.
Had some Omar in Brooklyn in him, too.
I'm telling you.
That became, like, amazing at the end. I didn't even know what he was saying. John, I was going to ask John a question. I cannot ask him. He is not in the proper headspace.
Yeah,
for
he was a little bit emotional.
But that was a wonderful phone call.
Justifiably so.
Yes.
And as Tommy pointed out to me, his first non-Mets call of the year.
That's why I joked he's a Met fan, because he always obsesses about Juan Soto, and Tiki wants to remind you something about Juan Soto.
No, not yet.
Oh, not yet?
You'll get it when, you know, you're least expecting it.
Wow.
I love it.
I was even teeing him up.
See? Don't tee me up. I got it.
Do you agree with John and Maspeth that you want to trade Devin Williams?
Not yet, but I think it's a serious conversation
wow,
over the next
month.
The
fact that you're even thinking about it,
well,
as a Yankee fan, you're thinking about this isn't going to work.
Well, it's a little more nuanced, I guess.
Why? I'll take him. I'll make you a trade for Devin Williams.
Because of the fact that he's not signed at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I think I've officially seen enough that, like, I'm guessing at some point Devin Williams is going to throw good innings for the Yankees. But I personally have seen enough that I'm not paying him $100 million
right, you don't
at
want
the
him. So you don't want him at the end of the season.
So,
and so if we're going to just, he's going to walk because you don't want him, if he's
gonna
you might as well get something for
right.
him.
Right. I think that the Yankees makes, could be in a spot where they're selling and buying at the same time, and I would sell him off.
I, as a New York Met fan, would trade for Devin Williams.
Especially
I would try
if you
to
have
fix
Luke
him.
Weaver as your closer.
That's my point. Yeah, they have a better right. closer already.
Well, you are weakening your bullpen, or at least you're creating a new hole in your bullpen, even if you don't trust Devin Williams. But I will take him. I'll make you a fair offer.
What's the offer?
You want to be the Yankee fan responder, and Tiki, of course, will be the independent trade observer. And you tell me if this is fair.
Yes, I will.
And I would make this trade as a Met fan. I speak for the Met community when I say we approve this trade. Devin Williams for Jeff McNeil. Done.
No.
I mean, no.
I'm trying to think. How are we using Jeff McNeil?
You could play him at second base, especially right now. Jazz Chisholm's going to be out for a couple of months. He's a professional hitter. He hasn't played a lot of third base, so when Jazz comes back, you may shift Jazz to third, which he did
last
rather
year.
Fine last year. Plus, McNeil can play the outfield if you need him. I think Jeff is perfect for it.
I want a better upgrade at some point.
From a versatility standpoint, it makes a ton of sense from the defensive side, obviously. Offensively, you just have a ton of worries.
All right, I'm going to push it a little further then. You say no to the Jeff McNeil trade.
Don't get the deal done. I can get more for Devin.
Okay, I'm working on this. Because I like Devin
He's
Williams.
Trying to give us more.
Well, I'm going to give you a different offer. Oh, you tell me if you accept this.
Right.
Brett Beatty for Devin Williams.
No.
Still saying no.
No, because I'm going to get a better version than Brett Beatty from somebody
else. I got the big one, Teak.
And isn't Cabrera just kind of just as good?
As Jeff McNeil? I mean, Jeff didn't win a batting title.
Beatty.
Oh, is Brett Beatty?
I don't think Cabrera is better with his defense. He can play a little outfield.
I think the thing with Beatty is he still has that ceiling. You know, there's still that possibility. He's a former top prospect. Here's the tough one, because I'm going to get slapped for suggesting this. In fact, Tommy's right here. Tommy, can you give me a playful slap? Don't slap me too hard, because Tommy's going to hate this. Okay, give me a chop. Give me a chop. Ow! Jesus Christ!
I was like, where are you slapping? You setting up to hit in the face? Are you setting up to, like, smack his ass?
Oh, my God.
Like, I didn't know where you were.
He slapped me on my boob.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you gave him the wrestling slap. That's good.
I thought it was going to be playful.
I just didn't know where you were slapping, Tommy. In the face, ass, what?
Well, thank God it wasn't the
ass, that's for sure.
Would have got me too excited. My trade idea, Tommy's going to hate. That's why I allowed him to slap.
All right, he just hit me now.
Why'd you hit Sean? I gave you permission to slap me.
I was trying to prove to Sean that it's a safe place where I hit you. It shouldn't hurt that much.
You slapped me pretty hard, though.
But you gave me your face, and I'm not going to slap you in the face because that's a place where you don't want to be getting slapped.
Right.
So I slapped you in the chesticle.
The breasticle.
The man boob.
I'm sorry.
Yes. It's okay. Thank you. The trade I was going to offer, which most Met fans will hate me for suggesting, but I think gets the deal done, is Devin Williams to the Mets for... I'm going to hide after I say it. Luis Angel Acuna.
You're an idiot.
Deal. Taking it.
Yeah, I'll take it.
You guys are good with that?
I'll take it. Live young bat, ceiling, sky's the limit. I'm in.
You would never do that.
Can I tell you why I would think about it?
Because you want to pair failed Yankee closers together in the same roster?
I still believe in Devin Williams. Like, as much as I said earlier this season, take him out of the closers role, that didn't mean I was giving up on him. It meant... hey, before this gets worse, let me just take him out of this high-pressurized role. Obviously, with the Mets, he would not be the closer. He wouldn't even sniff the closer's role with Edwin Diaz being that guy. I throw him in the pitching lab for a few weeks, few months. I get him straightened out. All of a sudden, I got this amazing back end of the bullpen. And the thing about Acuna, I like Acuna, so Tommy wants to slap me again, is I also have other pieces in my farm system that can fill that role.
Talking about Brady... Who else?
Ronnie Mauricio.
Yeah.
Jet Williams very well could be here. Brett Beatty, who I still sort of believe in. Now, Acuna provides so much defensively and so much speed-wise, but you would be getting a top-line closer.
Dude, I think from a Yankee standpoint, it would make sense, especially if you're done with Devin Williams. I think the challenge, because this isn't a reality here, the Yankees aren't done with Devin Williams.
Yeah, they're not giving up.
The fan might be sick of him. Keith McPherson might be sick of him, but we are not sick of him.
So, Tommy, you would not trade Luis Angel Acuna for Devin Williams?
I would not trade the National League Rookie of the Year for Devin Williams.
But you would do Beatty or McNeil?
McNeil, 100%. Beatty, I'd be 70%.
Really?
70%. Okay. I still think there's something left in Beatty that he hasn't shown us. McNeil, for sure, you could have.
No, he shows you all the time, just in AAA.
Well, he's back now. So we'll see if Brett Beatty can perform. Mets did win last night against the Diamondbacks, holding on with a 5-4 victory. Let's get back to some of your calls, and then we'll make fun of Spike Lee. Let's go to Edgar on Long Island. How are you, Edgar?
Oh, I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. What's up?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Not much. I wanted to bring up a few points. I think the Knicks playing the Pistons in the first round was a blessing in disguise. I think iron sharpens iron.
Right.
And, you know, maybe the Pistons are not the most talented team in the world, but I think it brought out a side of the Knicks that we hadn't really seen all season. Like, it brought out grit, toughness. Mm-hmm. It reminded them of kind of the team they were last year. So I think that was good. I don't think that would have happened had we played the Milwaukee Bucks in the first round.
I think that is a very, very fair point. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of something I heard a lot watching the NCAA tournament growing up.
Right.
When you are a top seed, you get that white knuckle game.
Mm.
That game that really tests you.
Right. Uh-oh.
Oh, boy. And then you survive it and you learn from it.
Yeah.
And in a lot of ways, they may have learned from the Detroit series, the physicality of it. Josh Hart even alluded to that yesterday when he said, hey, they brought bats to the Detroit series. We now brought the bats to Boston. So even though the Pistons are not nearly as talented as the Boston Celtics, I think there's a lot to it. I've heard a lot of Knicks fans suggest that over the last couple of days, that fight, that rock fight they were involved in, almost battle-tested them a little bit. And I could buy that.
And with the Magic and the Celtics, I'm not saying the Celtics didn't play hard, but they kind of walked through that series. You know, it was almost... Jason Tatum's not playing in this game because of a wrist injury. Jaylen Brown's taking off for this game because of whatever. Kristaps Porzingis is basically chilling in this game. So they didn't have that battle testing in the first round.
Well, let's take this a step further because I brought this up yesterday about the Celtics, and now it's happened. The Boston Celtics had not gotten punched in the face in 2 years. Last year,
In
the postseason, even the regular season, when are you getting punched in the face in the regular season? As a defending champion, there's no such thing as being punched in the face. But last year, when they won an NBA title, they never trailed. Never trailed. They were always ahead or even in the series they competed in. They never lost a game one at home. They would lose a game two at home. They would lose a game three on the road. So they never trailed. And what I thought was really important when talking about this yesterday was, can the Knicks be the first team since the Heat of 2 years ago, when the Heat beat them in the Eastern Conference Finals, built a 3-0 lead, and then held on for dear life. Can they be the first team to just punch them in the face and see how they respond?
Right, and then but it's important to punch them again. It's one thing to do it one time on the road.
Of course, you got to punch them three more times.
You got to do it three more times.
You got to do it three more times, but the Celtics have not faced that kind of adversity in 2 years. And so tomorrow night in Boston, I'd be curious to see how they respond to that adversity, something they're not used to. Now, yesterday, if you were listening to the New York Yankees game on the radio right here on WFAN, you would hear Susan Waldman, and she did not hold back when expressing her disgust at the idea that Spike Lee was at the Met Gala and not watching the Knicks game. Take a listen.
I was watching. I had it on. It's fascinating.
Oh, yeah. Who was good so far?
Oh, just about everybody. Spike Lee had on a Knicks cap, which was kind of
well,
cool. Pitch inside. He had a nice outfit on, ball three to judge.
Wait a minute. He's at the Met Gala and not in Boston to see the Knicks?
Hey, he's probably got a pocket TV with him.
A pocket TV with him, Dave.
Pocket TV. Do they still have those things?
No, it's called a phone.
I know, I'm just saying. But he said pocket TV.
No, I know he did.
I remember those things when they first came out.
Me too, by the way. Susan expressed the opinion of many New Yorkers, which was not anger at Spike Lee. I don't think people are angry at Spike Lee. I think people are disappointed in Spike Lee.
Why?
Because Spike Lee is a true Knicks fan. And I got nothing but respect for his Knick fandom. He goes to every game. He goes on the road. Even when they were terrible, like when half the people who now have Knicks fever didn't even know the Knicks still existed, Spike Lee was there. The Eddie Curry era, Spike Lee was there.
Mm-hmm.
The David Lee era, Spike Lee was there. So I have the utmost respect for his fandom.
Right.
But.
I do too.
But.
And you should, because he's everywhere.
I agree. But the Met Gala over Game 1 Knicks Celtics?
Can I defend Spike for a second? My buddy Spike?
Which means you're going up against Susan Waldman?
I guess so.
Yes, go ahead.
So Spike goes to games in a specific way.
Mm-hmm.
We all know what it is. Front row.
Yeah.
Got to be sitting right there in the front row. What are the chances that the Boston Celtic, I don't know, ticket office, or whoever he happened to maybe know in the front office, is giving him courtside seats?
Oh, I think he'd get
the Boston. Really?
I think he'll be there tomorrow. If he's there tomorrow.
I bet he couldn't get him.
If he's there tomorrow.
I bet he couldn't get him.
Okay, but if he's there tomorrow, you're taking out.
Why?
Because you're saying he couldn't get the tickets
for
tomorrow.
Game two.
What does that mean?
It's not game one.
So you're saying he couldn't get the tickets for game one, but
yes.
He'd be there for game two?
Yes.
Hogwash.
Why does he need tickets? Why can't he simply relax and watch the game?
What do you mean?
Why does he need to be at the Met Gala, period, when the Knicks are playing a game one?
I don't know.
Because here's the only answer I would say. Spike Lee is synonymous with the Knicks. Timothy Chalamet skipped the Met Gala last night as a Knicks fan because the Knicks were playing.
I think he made Spike look bad.
So he didn't.
He totally said I.
But he wasn't anywhere else. He was at home?
At home, watching the Knicks game because he is not missing his Knicks play against the Celtics in a game one. And yet Spike. We love you, Spike. You opted to rub elbows with celebrities last night. Timothy Chalamet said, I've done Wonka. Good enough for me.
And his girlfriend, Kylie Jenner, was there without him. What makes Timothy more of a regular guy than that?
How do you know they didn't just get into a fight or something?
No, but I'm just saying, like, how many times do we want to get out of something, but usually it's going to a stupid birthday party or something. Timothy's like, I'm not going to this Met Gala around all these celebrities. Let my girlfriend go. I'm going to watch the Knicks game. It's very relatable.
Priorities.
So I appreciate him for that.
He picked
the priorities. And he traveled to Detroit.
Yeah. No, he picked the priorities.
Maybe he just didn't care about the pomp and circumstance of it.
Well, what is the Met Gala? Can you explain it?
It's a fundraiser for... I forget what they raise money for, but I went one time in my life.
Okay, how was it?
I was bored out of my mind.
Did you dress like incredibly amazing?
No, I just wore a nice suit.
Because it seems like it's known for its fashion.
Yeah, of course. But
it's not. It's just a charity event?
It's known for its fashion, but it is a charity event.
Interesting, okay.
But I couldn't tell you what happened in that charity event.
Now, do you feel bad?
I was
bad?
Sitting next to Andre 3000, which was pretty damn cool.
That is pretty cool.
But I was, you just these massive long tables outside of the outside, you know, red carpet, the walk, and everybody's looking pretty and gorgeous and whatever. Even once you're in the event, it's like, what's going on?
So
like,
why would Spike pick that over watching a Knicks game?
I don't know. Maybe it was a cause that he felt passionate about.
See, that's the only thing that could cause hesitation,
no
guys. Like, if he's really into the cause and he's like, look, I love my Knicks.
Does he always go? That's the question.
I have not studied the history of Spike Lee's Met Gala attendance, but it did jump out at everybody that the guy who is truly a great Knicks fan was not watching the Knicks game because he was at an event. But I think, Tiki, you're going to be right. I think it's going to be the charity means a lot to him.
No.
What do you mean, no?
I think if you're Spike Lee and the charity means a lot to you, I think a public statement on social media would have loved to have been at the Met Gala tonight, whatever charity, this is the check I'm writing, but my attention needs to be with my New York Knicks. And I actually think people behind the charitable cause would rally more. Hey, he's still taking care of the charity, but he's letting us know.
Didn't you go to a Billy Joel concert during a Yankee playoff game?
I did. Was I photographed in Yankee hats? Was I photographed in Yankee shirts, like certain update anchors around here screaming and yelling during Piano Man? I did not. I sat there and I said, this is wrong of me, but I'm taking care of my wife and I got to take the slings that come with it, so I'm slinging back here.
So you could avoid watching a big sporting event as long as you're not wearing the apparel the team playing the sporting event?
Once you're wearing the Knicks hat, you're bringing attention to, I'm still repping my Knicks tonight, but they're not as important as what I'm doing now.
Right.
To me, I think if you want to go to the Met Gala, just wear the suit and say, look, this is a long-standing commitment, is what it is, you guys are going to crush me. You can't bring attention to the Knicks at the Met Gala. Same thing with any fool wearing Knicks jerseys at Yankee Stadium last night.
So apparently he goes regularly.
Say it again?
Apparently he goes to the Met Gala regularly.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just something that happened to fall on game one.
Are you saying it's okay?
I think he couldn't get tickets. That's what I'm saying.
Come on. That's not the reason. That's the one I don't buy.
Someone was like, hey, Spike, we got front, courtside front row seat tickets for you in Boston.
Yeah.
I promise you he's
gone.
Yeah,
but he's going to get those tickets for game two and game five and seven if they happen.
Mm-hmm. So, but it's not game one.
Well, what does that mean?
It's just, I don't know, the Boston Celtics fan was wants to go.
I'll tell you why that's BS, by the way.
They were having a party there. They were going to destroy the Knicks.
I'll tell you why you're dead wrong about this. I heard a lot of Knicks fans there for game one. There were more Knicks fans in that building than I certainly expected.
Really?
Yes.
More than Detroit.
No doubt. There were loud go Knicks chants.
It's a drive to Boston.
No, I get that, but I didn't think access to tickets.
10 hours.
I get that, but I didn't think access to tickets would be doable because in Philly, they didn't even sell out. So it was easy to just go to the box office and fill up whatever they call that place now. But in Boston, there's such a hot ticket, it's usually very difficult to get tickets. But there were a lot of Knicks fans there. So I think your ticket idea is dead wrong. Now, if you want to tell me, hey, look, he prioritizes this because it's an important charity for him, I'll buy that more than he can't get tickets.
Maybe
he
DVR'd the game.
You think he did?
Probably not. By the way,
if he did, I would have great respect for him.
He watched it from a pocket television.
Right.
Another subtle thing here, and I'm going to dunk this one. I think we could settle that the Mets are now big brother in town because diehard Yankee fan Spike Lee was at the Met Gala. So not only was he not watching the Knicks, he's at an event that says Met in front of it. Even watching the Yankee game.
That count, Tiki, as another Tommy terrible take today?
Yeah, that's a terrible take.
Okay. Yeah. Met Gala proves Mets fandom. Very good.
Especially because they won.
Let's go to Marco in Connecticut, who was at the game last night up in Boston. How was that experience, Marco?
It was a movie. Oh, my gosh. My emotions were going crazy in that game. You know, beginning of the game, before it started, the Celtics fans were very cocky, very arrogant. You know, chirping, you know we're going to win tonight, right? You came all this way. Like, I don't know, man. We got a fighter's chance. And they played with so much fight. Those Celtics fans left very disappointed, and it felt so good to see them walk out so upset. And Knicks fans came out, and Evan, I got tickets maybe 3 hours before the game. I checked the Game Time app. They were pretty good price, and we were there. Knicks fans were there representing. It was crazy.
Wow.
Crazy.
Well, good job. And when they won the game, all right, so when Mikal Bridges pulls off the steal to seal it, how did you act leaving the building? Did you scream and yell like a lunatic? Were you very quiet about it because you were in another team's building? Like, how'd you handle it?
Yeah. So I was pretty quiet. You know, when the game initially ended right away, I was pumped up, you know, screaming, let's go Knicks. But walking out, I wasn't going too crazy because, you know, at the end of the day, it's one game. We didn't win the series, you know, and I just kept telling myself that. But, man, if that was home, that would have been, oh, my gosh, crazy. But
I can imagine.
I was keeping it in. I I've never been to a game like that before, and it was amazing. Let's go.
Well, good for you, man. I'm glad you had a really good time. My advice would be, not that I've ever been in Boston where my playoff team wins. Actually, I was. I was in Foxborough. Does that count?
Yeah, of course it counts.
Yeah. I was quiet until they really started to leave. Because the one thing about Bostonians, much like New Yorkers too, is that you don't want to run into the wrong drunk one.
That's true.
You know, you don't want to get too cocky right. And have the wrong drunk person right. Who just...
And then six of his friends.
Yeah, right. And then six of his rowdy friends. Mm-hmm. But that is an incredible, incredible experience. Speaking of Boston, yesterday on the show, we broached a very uncomfortable subject to a lot of people, which is that if the Knicks upset the Celtics, that would actually be a bigger upset than the Giants defeating the Patriots. Well, Boston Sports Talk Radio chimed in on that. We'll take a listen to what they had to say. Plus... we have to address it. Was the fix in last night for New York's favorite hockey team? We'll address it coming up. We'll hear what Boston has to say about my view that if the Knicks win this series, it'll be a bigger upset than the Giants beating the Patriots. But quick question for you, Tiki. I found out yesterday that Joe Mazzulla, the head coach of the Boston Celtics, has a unique strategy in the way he coaches his players.
Which is?
Jason Tatum admitted that randomly, let's say third quarter, big spot, the place is tense, Coach Mazzulla would come up to Jason Tatum, look into his eyes, and say, hey, Jason, I just want to remind you that I love you, and you mean so much to me.
There's nothing wrong with that. That's
Coach,
great.
Coach was asked about that, and he said, yeah, just a reminder that, mm-hmm. you know, there are things that are bigger than basketball. So ever since I read this, I've been thinking all about you and Tom. Like, did Tom Coughlin ever do that?
No.
Third quarter, just come over and be like, Tiki, I love you.
He hardly talked to you guys, those guys.
What if he did? Like, what would your reaction have been?
It'd probably take you out of your game.
Oh, it'd have the opposite effect.
Yeah, because you're just not expecting it.
Gotcha.
It's one thing if it's something that happens regularly, but that just would never happen.
Would Fossil do it?
Not during games, but I love Jim. Jim was the best.
Has any coach ever done that with you? Where they're just randomly in the middle of a high-pressurized moment and be like,
high school coach.
Oh, really?
Coach Spangler, but not on the pro level.
Do you think it's a good strategy?
If it's authentic to you, yes.
Do you think it would work with Sean and Tommy? If all of a sudden just randomly, like you just looked at Sean and was like, hey, Sean, I just want to let you know. I love you, man.
Yeah, Sean knows I love him.
I love you too, T.
Yeah, man.
What about Tommy? You think it would work on him?
Tommy knows I love him too.
Love you too.
Yeah, but that's basically like I don't have to say it.
Exactly.
But sometimes it's good to say.
But if I did, they wouldn't be shocked by it.
You think it would catch them out of their game, like
no,
kind of change
like,
them?
Yeah, I'm going to work hard today.
The next time Sean or Tommy is on like a crazy rant,
yes.
Like they just, you know, like
stop them in their tracks.
Stop them in their tracks and be like, time out.
Tommy.
They respect you, not me. And just
Sean.
Say, Sean, I love you.
Love you guys.
I don't like that.
It would disarm us immediately.
Yeah, I don't like it.
And you'd stop arguing.
Yeah. When you say I love you out of nowhere for no reason, it signifies something's wrong.
That's how you take it?
Well, it depends on how you say it. Because if you say, I love you, you can hear the butt without
the
me even saying
yeah.
it.
Right.
Me
that's
say.
True.
And
that's
then
true.
My mind goes, here we go.
That's a good point. Now, let's get to some of your calls. In the next 5 minutes, you will hear Boston's view on which would be a bigger upset. Let's go to Anthony in Staten Island. How are you, Anthony?
What's up, guys? Good to talk to you again. Thanks for taking the call.
Appreciate Thanks for calling. You, what's up, man?
All right, listen, Evan. This is a big moment for me, so I'm going to tell you I love you first. I love you. Okay?
Yes. I hear the butt coming.
Yes.
There's a big butt coming. Last night, I got a point on the Knicks, but I want to address my beef with Evan first.
Go ahead.
Last night, that was such a troll video that you posted on Instagram on the WFAN page. Mm-hmm. Oh, I told you they were going to win game one, but they're going to lose the next four. That was not the video of an IBO. That was the video of a pathetic Nets fan that's peanut butter and jealous. Let me tell you.
I like that. Peanut butter and jealous. That's awesome.
Well, now that I got that off my chest, let me just say a couple things.
Go ahead. Yes.
They missed 45 threes. That's never going to happen again in the history of basketball. Probably not. Okay? So, yeah, they won the game. You got to take away all the positives. I'm screaming at the TV when they're playing Hacker Mitch, which is such a Bush League play, okay? And I was cursing at the TV. Okay, so why is Tom Thibodeau not seeing that and allowing Mitch to go to the free throw line 10 times, right, and not pulling him on the second or third intentional foul and putting Precious in? What's this guy's beef with Precious?
Couple of things. So he eventually did go to Precious mm-hmm. Achiuwa, and the Knicks went small to combat this. And we talked earlier, if you missed it, one of the ideas that Tom Thibodeau could deploy in Game 2 or beyond is to try to put Mitch's minutes in a spot in which the Knicks aren't in the bonus. So you kind of take away the Celtics' ability to just hack them and right. send them to the line. I disagree that it's Bush League. It is what it is. It's a strategy that's been deployed for decades. This happens a lot now.
Yeah, but usually for offensive players, good offensive big men who just can't
shoot necessarily. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. In fact, the official researcher of the Evan and Tiki show, a guy by the name of Dan, he goes through all our old tweets constantly. I mean, listens to every second of the show. I appreciate him. We should pay him. So get that in our budget, Odyssey. Dan brought up about 8 different tweets of me talking about hacker strategies. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you some of the names. Omar Sheik, Reggie Evans, Nicholas Claxton. Yeah, you like that one.
Reggie Evans.
But
deep cuts.
Those are but that's my point. Like, those guys are just bad free throw shooters. And so it's a strategy not because of the player, but because of the offense you're facing. With that said, I think this argument is dopey because it's allowed, so we just have to respect it. It's more, what can the Knicks do about it? And what Tom Thibodeau should do is manage his minutes around when they're not in the bonus so that they can't do that.
Right.
It's not like they can automatically send them to the line.
Yeah, but it's the defending champs that are doing it. So I wonder...
I know, don't do this. Don't do
this. No. I just want
to... It's a legal thing, man. Like, we're going to argue if it's right or not.
I'm not going to argue that. What I'm going to say is...
By the way, Dan caught you in a bind, too. Because earlier in the show, when Tommy was whining about this, I said to him, hey... Are you in favor of intentionally walking a great player like Barry Bonds or Aaron Judge? And he's like, no, it's Bush League. And of course, Teague, we found old tweets
this
of...
This is why you don't tweet.
They got to walk Freddie Freeman every time he comes
up. Yeah, because Freddie Freeman owned the Mets. We weren't the defending champs.
So isn't that Bush League?
No, it's being smart. This is the defending champs fouling
smart.
Mitchell Robinson.
He's got me in the vortex. Great team. Why are we arguing?
I wonder out loud if this was the Knicks who had just won a title and they were doing this, if Sean or Evan would be saying, this is ridiculous.
Right. Part of the reason they're the defending champs is because they're well-coached.
Oh, you're so full of crap. It's
like
not even funny. You know you would say that.
One of my old tweets featured a defending champion, Steve Kerr, using a hack strategy. So this is just ridiculous. It's part of basketball. If you want to change the rule, we could talk about that. But the idea that they shouldn't do it because they're defending champions is lunacy.
Oh, no, they can't do it. It's just stupid and cheap.
Well, it's not stupid because it works. And it's about Tom Thibodeau adjusting. And he's got 3 choices. He can not play Mitchell Robinson. He can go small with Precious Achiuwa. He can play through it and say, you know what? Fine.
Eventually, he'll make some of them.
He'll make his free throws. We'll make you pay. Or you can manage it around the time of game so that they can't deploy the strategy. I think that's the way you got to go about it. And my video last night was not a trolling video. I've been consistent with what my prediction is. My prediction, which I said yesterday, was Boston will win this series in 5 and they will lose game 1 at home. So far I'm right. We'll see if I'm right. Now, Tiki's prediction yesterday was Celtics in 6.
Mm-hmm.
Can you, first of all, say that in the microphone?
Yes. Celtics in 6.
Does that change based on what happened yesterday? Like, I keep hearing this promo where BT says, the dynamics have changed.
No.
Well, I ask you, have the dynamics changed?
No, because I still believe the Boston Celtics are the better team.
Okay.
They had a ridiculously bad shooting night.
All right.
And when they were down 20, I thought they were losing by 30.
Yeah.
And they surprised me.
So you're sticking with Boston in 6. I'm sticking with Boston in 5. Tommy, obviously, sticking with Knicks in 6, I assume.
Of course.
Sean, I guess that leaves Sean.
Mm-hmm.
You said Celtics in 4.
I said the Celtics would sweep, and I'm still right. A gentleman's sweep.
It's not a gentleman's sweep when you lose game 1.
We could manufacture the word all we want.
No, we're not. Gentleman's sweep. Real quick, let's go to Lorenzo in Keyport. Lorenzo.
I'll tell you who I don't love is Soto, because I took your advice one night and didn't take him in a home run parlay. Guess which night I did that?
The night he hit 2 home runs?
You got it, my friend.
Of course.
Yes. So thank you. Evan, there's 3 Net fans now on this station talking, and that never happens. But you said like a month and a half ago a line that kind of got thrown to the side, and nobody picked up on it. So I'm hoping I'm wrong, because you had wanted to throw a party when they were going to get eliminated, the Knicks. I asked Tommy. He said you were kidding. But did you say that you actually take a scorecard of the Knicks games with their offensive rebounds and other aspects of the game each night?
I get so nervous during these basketball games that, yes, I write stuff down, including what you just said. Yes, that's true.
That is true.
I'm a loser.
Okay,
that is true.
I, I'm gonna have to talk to the coalition. All right, that's all. I wanted to confirm that.
Well, this doesn't make me any less of a Knicks hater. Like, I'm watching the games.
Knicks.
I'm nervous during the games because I appreciate great basketball.
Right.
I obviously am rooting for an outcome.
But why are you taking down those stats for the Knicks?
It makes me feel better. Like, it's just a way of coping with the stress of the game. Like, I'm so used to scoring
but
baseball games.
Why are you stressed? Because you want them to lose that badly?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow, like that is like super haterish.
Oh, you think that's super haterish?
Yes.
Oh, really? Watch this. When the Knicks won last night, I just went on and watched the Mets game. Hey, Sean, what happened when the Knicks won last night to you?
I went outside and sat on my stoop with my hands in my face, paced around, and told my wife to go to bed. I'm not watching television with her.
How much money did you lose?
That I'm not going to share.
There's a layer here.
Well, was it money related or was it hating the Knicks related?
I will admit I lost money last night, but it was definitely hating the Knicks related. There was a part.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I'll say it. It's 441. There was a big part of me last night that felt something in my stomach last night, insert joke here, that I did not even feel when the Eagles won the Super Bowl.
Really?
Wow. And whether it was the 20-point lead.
How do you hate the Knicks that much more than the Eagles?
Tiki Barber, great question.
I mean, it is. I'm curious.
Do I hate the Knicks more than I hate the Eagles? The answer to that would be no, I don't. Mm. But what I hate is the situation I've been put in on this damn show. Which is your stupid, not you, you and you, stupid King of New York nonsense that has made me, and I don't even dislike Jalen Brunson. He's hard to dislike, right?
Of course.
But this nonsense, when Jalen Brunson misses that potential game winner, mm-hmm. and they don't win in regulation, and they come back from the 20-point tease, that was the moment that I said, this is it. I crown Aaron Judge. The Knicks got their hopes up. They're going to lose in overtime now. Something about this stupid King of New York thing, I already hated the Knicks, no doubt about it, has now jumped this to a level of I can't stand looking Tommy in the face. I can't stand Knick fans on Twitter. Where do you guys get off acting like this with Jalen Brunson?
Because he's great. He's the most clutch player in the NBA right now.
Clutch player of the year award. Good for him. I understand he's great.
But he proves it. He does it. He literally does it.
And he did last night, despite the turnover and despite the missed shot. Dude, the guy went 3-for-3 from 3 in the fourth quarter last night.
But as I alluded to, we have gone above and beyond crowning him before he's actually won anything of substance. I can't take it.
What does Aaron Judge want of substance?
Well, he's won an American League championship.
Okay. Jalen Brunson's the king of New York, and that's an IBO saying that. And you sitting there sweating out the fourth quarter in overtime of game one of a series, like it was going to prove you right. You were never going to be proven right.
So if Gerrit Cole covers first base last year, okay, and the Yankees come back and have this improbable comeback and win the World Series.
Yeah. Different conversation.
That Aaron Judge drop pop up everybody likes to bring up. I mean,
It goes away.
Well, Jalen Brunson gets bailed out by missing that game winning shot last night.
Sean, so you're right. History is written by the winners. The Knicks won last night. And number two, while Jalen Brunson missed a point blank game winner, and what a brilliantly drawn up play by Tom Thibodeau. Right. Can we give him some love?
It was.
They're not in that position without him going 3 for 3 from three. In the fourth quarter of this game, so to put anything on him would be deeply unfair.
I'm not saying Jalen Brunson stinks. I think Jalen Brunson's great. I think Jalen Brunson's
He's also the king of New York. Say it out loud.
He's not the king of New York until the Knicks actually win a series of substance.
So who's the king of New York then?
It's still Aaron Judge.
How is it Aaron Judge? He hasn't won anything.
He hit 62 homers. I mean, how much more does he need to prove?
If you think the king of New York subject is so inane and crazy... How about the discussion we had yesterday that spilled on over to our friends in Boston, which is, in my opinion, if the Knicks win this series as a big upset, it would be a bigger upset than the Giants beating the Patriots. That really annoyed Sean. Tommy, I think you were kind of with me, right?
I was with you, yeah.
Yeah, you were with me, and the audience was very split. I didn't realize that such a heated subject would actually leak its way up to Boston. So would you like to hear the view of Felger and Maz up in Boston?
Let's hear it.
Based on this discussion we had on the...
Felger and Maz.
That's what I said.
No, but go on.
Felger and Maz in Boston.
I think you put a D sound.
I apologize. They do a wonderful job. Here's Felger and Maz in Boston opining on this sensitive subject.
Not as big of an upset as the Knicks beating the Celtics.
Evan Roberts, WFAN. He's right.
I agree completely.
100%. And it is nature of the sport kind of thing, which is one of the great reasons not to cross sports. But if the Knicks beat the Celtics, it, to me, it'd be a much bigger upset than the Giants beating the Patriots that day. You played the Giants a month before, and you wanted the...
35-31, I think.
38-35.
Yeah. Last drive of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they threw the kitchen sink at them. That game was a battle.
But I'm just saying, it's like you had played them before, and it was close. And of course, it was a big upset. It was 14.5.
Yeah, right.
Was the point spread.
Yep.
So it's a big, massive upset. But
if you paid attention to those two teams down the stretch, it wasn't, I mean, it was a surprise, but it wasn't that big a surprise. Bingo. This would be a bigger upset.
This would be a much bigger upset. Yeah. If they beat you four times, I get upset if they beat you twice.
I love those guys.
Felger and Maz up in Boston. I mean, thank you.
I think because of what was at stake, it can't be.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing that Sean said. You guys are wrong about that. It's not about what's at stake.
But you're talking about the game itself, right? So the Knicks beating the Celtics just feels so improbable because the Knicks were so much inferior to the Celtics that this is a massive upset. Whereas the Giants, who are in the Super Bowl, can't be that much inferior than the New England Patriots.
That's a part of it,
right? Because they won the NFC. They are the best team in the National Football Conference, so they have to be somewhat viable
as an
opponent. And basically what they're saying about the Knicks is that they're not a viable opponent, despite the fact they've been third the entire season in the East, and they're in the second round of the playoffs for the third straight year. So it's like that. It's almost an insult on what the Knicks have accomplished because you think that the Celtics are that much better than they are.
Well, I think it's also, they hit on something I tried to explain to Sean too, which is if you remember the last 3 or 4 weeks, the AFC championship game, the AFC division around, and the way the Giants were playing, upsetting Dallas, upsetting Green Bay.
They were on the road the whole time.
When we got to the game, I thought the Giants were going to win. I thought that all those years ago. So I think that we forget, they were the undefeated Patriots, but when we got closer and closer to that game based on what had happened over the last few weeks, it felt more believable that the Giants would pull off the upset.
Right.
Now, we'll see if the Knicks could pull this off, but them beating the Celtics four times in seven games, is a bigger upset. And I appreciate the city of Boston, who obviously has a stake in this as the team that got upset
all those years ago, and the team that could get upset here as being independent observers on this and giving a nice opinion, which I agree with.
But
so
now,
apologize, Sean.
No, I'm not going to apologize because I actually think now two things are true, and one is blatantly true after last night. The first thing is we're so far removed from Super Bowl 42 that we lived it that I think we forget where we really were in the moment. And you don't realize that, Evan, you were so far in the minority. And where we are today, you've heard it all day on the station. You've heard the promos running. You've heard the Knicks fans. They've got their wings back. Suddenly.
No, but wait, Sean.
No.
That's not fair because they just won. You knew if they won a game, fans would come back. What did people say yesterday?
Evan, we just played the clip, and they brought up the final game of the regular season as to why it should not have been a bigger surprise. That's what they're using for that. So if you're going to use that, football's a one-game deal, right? So they had a game sample size of the Giants and Patriots, which they are saying is why it's not a big upset. Now we got last night. And Knicks fans are back to thinking they could win this series in six games.
But going into the series, not tonight or tomorrow, up 1-0, going into the series. That's when Felder and Maz talked about it. That's when we talked about it. Was going into the series, it would be a bigger upset. You can't include last night.
No, I can. Because it's two different. Because it's a one-game deal compared to a best of seven. So then let me ask you, Evan. Going into week 17 of the NFL season, if I told you the Giants were beating the Patriots, would you have said, well, that would be the biggest upset in sports history?
But what does that have to do with this?
Because that basically was game one of a series, which is what we're using.
You can't compare the last week of the NFL season to last night's game one.
Then your logic stinks, because then you can never compare the NFL to any other series. Right? I'm giving you an example of playing a game between the two teams and how things change.
There isn't a comparison with the last game. Like, even the last regular season game isn't a comp, because the Celtics didn't care about it the way the Patriots cared about their last game. So there isn't a comp to that.
But you don't play series in football. So if the excuse,
but that's a part of it.
But no, but if the excuse is we saw the team square off in week 17 and that's why it didn't feel like a big upset, well, we saw the team square off in game one, which was not a regular season game. Now let's see what happens.
Can you tell him he's wrong?
Well, I mean, here's the issue. The Giants beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl, the game that the Patriots were supposed to win from week 8 on. Everybody knew that they were winning the Super Bowl. It's the best team ever constructed. Tom Brady threw for 50-plus touchdowns. Randy Moss had how many touchdowns that season? 30? Something like that. Whatever it was a ridiculous number of receiving touchdowns. They had one of the best, most creative defenses in football, all because Bill Belichick was the greatest coach that we've ever laid eyes upon, and Tom Brady was quickly becoming the GOAT at quarterback, with at least from a winning standpoint. Even from a skill standpoint, he's not the greatest player out there. But we knew he's the greatest winner. There was no chance the Giants were winning that game. And the spread told you. How many Super Bowls do you see with a line of 14.5?
Well, what's the money line for this series going in?
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the spread in the Super Bowl. When has it ever been that big?
No, it was a huge line.
Enormous line. So the Giants were a ridiculous underdog in a game that they had no business like even competing in. And yet they had a great game plan and they upset the New England Patriots for the biggest trophy you could win.
See, I don't think the biggest trophy matters, because obviously the Super Bowl is bigger than the Eastern Conference semis. I'm not arguing that.
So you're going to argue that the level of the game, the pressure of that moment, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Okay. That comes from someone who never played at that level.
Oh, you got me on that.
No, I understand. It does matter.
I don't think it does when you're measuring upsets. If you're measuring an upset.
I'll give you a non-related example.
Go ahead.
So, you know I'm a cheer dad now.
Yes.
So my younger daughter's team, Tegan's team, Junior Ammo, they, except for one match, they won every competition they competed. Every single competition. It was hardly close. And by the way, congratulations to CJA Major 5. Their level 5 team won the Summit National Championship over the weekend. So congratulations to them. But we thought that Brooke Tegan's team was. And they were fantastic. Every single competition. And you get to Summit, which is like the best teams of the best in the nation. And they're crushing their routine. They're hitting it. And all of a sudden, a stunt comes down. A stunt that never comes down. And every competition that they've done all season long, the stunt doesn't come down. It comes down, and there's another issue, and then there's a knee down. And next thing you know, they don't even make the finals. It's one of the best level one teams in the country. And they don't make the finals because of the competition and the moment, right? And when you ask Patty Ann about it, who was the owner of the gym, she'll say, Summit will crush your soul. right? It's just real. Like, it's like the intensity of the moment is just so palpable. You can feel it. And you're on this massive stage with everybody watching you and thousands of people watching at home. And it's your chance to make a legacy and win a ring. And they screwed it up. So the moment matters.
I think the moment,
level of the moment absolutely
I think the moment matters. I'm just merely saying, and this is what the guys in Boston are saying, is that the shock of this upset, even if it's a lesser round with less pressure.
I don't think so.
Shock more
the pressure
people.
Matters.
No, but I'm saying the shock. There are less. I'll put it this way.
Here's why. Because what? If the Knicks end up winning this series, if the Knicks beat the Celtics, it's the second round.
Yeah.
The Knicks will then have to go on and maybe even play the Pacers.
Who knows?
Right? Because the Pacers are damn good. Maybe we're discounting them. But whatever, they're going to go on and play another probably epic series. The Celtics series isn't going to be remembered.
Oh, it'll be remembered.
Absolutely not.
Jets-Patriots is remembered even though they lost to the Steelers the next week. It's remembered badly, unfortunately.
I don't know. I don't remember Jets-Patriots. I'm as big a football fan as there is.
Maybe that's more of a fandom
thing. I'm as big of an analyst as there is. I hardly remember that game.
No, you're right. That's for Jet fans.
Exactly.
I agree with that. I agree.
And so... when you're talking about big upsets, the entire freaking world was shocked that the 14.5-point underdog New York Giants beat the New England Patriots, which we heard from week 8 till Super Bowl Sunday was the greatest. Don't forget, everybody said this to a person. This is the greatest football team in the history of football. I can't tell you how many times I heard that and maybe even said it, right? They were great, and they lost to the Giants, who were the wild card team in the playoffs.
You know the biggest thing I got wrong in the last 24 hours? I thought Tiki would agree with me. I don't know why.
No.
Like, I thought when you came back, you'd be like, you know what, F?
You know what they tell people or teams that are playing for the Super Bowl? This is like the simplest and best advice. Don't try to win the Super Bowl. Just win the game.
Right.
Right? And so, like, that is simple and impossible at the same time. You're playing in the second round against the Boston Celtics on the road. Your heated rival, your heated enemy. You beat them.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.